Well, several weeks back, we were visiting with Kenny when he was here and was singing for us some, and he's going to be back again soon, we hope. And met Brother Rick and found out that him and Kenny used to sing together some years ago doing some gospel songs. And so Rick and I have been trying to work things out so he could do one for you, and tonight we were finally able to do it. So Rick's going to do a song that he wrote. It's a song to the Lord. It's called I'm Sorry.
Yeah, not up here because of any kind of awesome musical ability. Matter of fact, when Kenny and I were together, he did all the singing. I just played. I would wish it were him singing this right now, because it's not about vocal ability either. What it is about is my love for Jesus Christ and how much I messed up, so I wrote a song for him.
In a bad way, by searching for things that tomorrow brings, my life was in decay. Now I see there's a price to pay for living free and only for me, my God. So far away. And I'm sorry. And I can't say I would blame you if you wanted to turn your back on me. For all eternity. I lived as though I just didn't care about anyone or anything. I didn't think that you were there. The hurt, the pain, the tears I cried, I can count the times that I've lied. You know I told myself that I was fine while I was wasting away. And I'm sorry. And I can't say I would blame you if you wanted to turn your back on me. But instead you set me free. I can't believe you know everything about me, and you still love me anyway. Oh Lord, I need you now more than I can say. And I'm ready to do what you ask me to, forever yours is what I pray. I tried to run, I tried to hide, still you never left my side. No, you carried me where I should be, and yours come what may. Now I know that you would never turn your back on me, because you live in me. And I love you.
Good song. Good song. That's his homeboys congratulating him there. Where are you? Jeff, you've been in prison with everybody in this room, probably. How many years you got left on parole, Jeff?
62.
Jeff told me one time, he said, my last parole officer hadn't been born yet. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 21. If you don't have a Bible and would like to have one, we got some folks that'll hand them out to you. Keep your hand up and we'll get you a Bible. John chapter 21. Let me say this about those Bibles. If you don't have a Bible here with you, you might have one at home, but home's Angelo, Abilene, Amarillo. If you don't have a Bible here with you, just keep that one as the rec room's gift to you. You need to have a Bible. Because believe me, there come a time when you'll need to turn to it. This is the part in the scripture where Jesus asked his disciples to come and dine with him. He did that a lot in his lifetime. Let me give you a little background on this, because eating together is something that people still do as friends, as a time of relaxation, as just a get together. You do this, you say, hey man, let's have lunch together. Or maybe we could get together for dinner. Or let's have breakfast. You just can sit down, maybe you're talking business, maybe you're just visiting, whatever. I remember back when we first started the rec room, Charles and I would get together for breakfast to talk about what we needed to do and how to do it. And then he quit buying and I quit going. But even now there's some of us that on Friday night we just get together and everybody goes Dutch, but we go out and eat and fellowship and visit and have a good time together. You get to know people. I heard a guy say one time that if you're having trouble with somebody, go have some beans and cornbread with him. It's amazing how you learn to get along together if you sit down with them and just eat with them. And the background to this situation that we're going to read tonight is that Christ had been crucified and he's arisen and he's appeared to his disciples. They were in a locked room, scared to death. Remember, they all forsook him and fled and they got together. They were worried about the danger to their lives, and Jesus just come walking into that locker room right through the wall and said, I'm here, I'm risen. They'd heard he was, but they didn't believe it. And he just walked in. 8 days later, and this is in chapter 20 of John, because Thomas, one of the disciples, wasn't there, and they said, hey Thomas, man, Jesus, we saw Jesus, he is really alive. And he said, don't tell me that. He said, I'll believe that when I can feel the scars in his hand, when I can touch him, when I can really see him and feel him. And 8 days later, as they were together, and Thomas happened to be there at that time, right through that locked door, walked Jesus again. And he said, Thomas, feel it. Now, for some reason, we've gone back and called Thomas Doubting Thomas. But he didn't doubt any more than the rest of them. He just happened to be there, not be there the first time. But they went through the same thing. He said, here. And in fact, he ate before them. He said, give me something to eat. I'll show you. I'm alive. I'm risen. And so, now then, this is going to be the next encounter with them, because what has happened? Keep this in mind, that yes, Christ has risen. He's no longer dead. But the disciples are not getting it, because they'd been told that they were looking for a kingdom. They were looking for Christ to be king and for them to be in control. In fact, one time he told them, he said, you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And here they are, he's resurrected, and they're hiding in a room. And things are not going like they want it. That's probably new to some of you Christians. All things always gone just like you wanted them, and you've never had this problem. See, we turn our life over to Christ and think that from now on, from this day forward, he's our servant. Bring me this. Give me that. See, this is what I want. And so they were not, in fact, evidently they were a little disgusted about this. So let's start reading. In John 21 and verse 1, he said, I've lost my place now. Here it is. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Canaan and of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, the two other of his disciples. That's James and John. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Let me make a comment here. Fishing to you and I is a pastime. It's a sport. It's a relaxation. When Peter said, I go fishing, he's not talking about, I think I'll go have some entertainment. You know what he's saying? I quit. That's what Peter was when he started following Christ. He was a fisherman. That was his occupation. That's hard work. That's toiling work. And Peter said, I quit. I'm going back to doing something that will pay me. I don't know why we think that after Christ has died for us and paid for all our sins, that he still owes us much stuff. And he said, I go fishing. And by the way, when you quit, some other folks quit with you. Notice what he said here? Others said, well, we'll just go with you. We're quitting too. We'll just go back fishing where we can make a living and we won't have all of this problem and people won't be after us because we followed Jesus. We give it our best shot. And so things are not working out too well and we always go back fishing. And so they went and notice this. They fished all night and caught nothing. I'm going to tell you, when God puts his call on you, it'll be nothing until you answer that call. You won't turn away and walk away happy. You might walk away. I've walked away and spent the most miserable years of my life. I've turned my back on him so many times. Peter said, I go fishing. And they said, we also go with thee. Verse 3. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? You got anything to eat? Y'all are out there fishing. Y'all got anything? And they answered him, no. And notice this. And then he said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship. Ye shall find. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think they spent all the night fishing on the left side? Any of you's ever been fishing, even for fun, knows this, that if we're not biting here, we move over there. Nobody stays at the same place when nothing is happening. You know they've tried every side of that ship. And he said, throw it on the right side. And they threw it on the right side. And they were got so many fish that they couldn't pull the net in. And then, notice verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, who's writing this, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. I think he said to Peter, Lord, Peter, he's found us. That's the Lord. That's the one we was trying to get away from. It's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisherman's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. I wanted to take you back a little bit. Now, sir, we don't have any place to go from in here. If you want to go back into the life of Peter, when he was first called, turn back with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. Hold your place now, John. We're going to come back to it. But I want to remind you of something so that you'll see what got Peter's attention here this time. In Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 4, Jesus had come to Peter, and the people were such a press on him, and he asked Peter if he could stand on his boat and talk, because they were crowding him so much. And they did. Then after that, in verse 3, he talked to people. In verse 4, said, now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. If you're a Bible marker, highlight nets. He said, let down your nets, because, notice this, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What did he tell him to let down? The nets. What did he let down? The net. We do a little part-time disobedience, don't we, with him? Yeah. God said, give it all, and you say, here's a tenth. God said, do this for me. Well, I'll do most of it. He said, let down your net. And by the way, and when they had done, verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and the net broke. He gave them so many fish, not only now they're going to lose the fish, but they're going to have to repair the net. It's costly. And let me remind you, and I don't think I have to, it's costly to disobey God's call on your life. I'm going to tell you something. You can't drink enough whiskey, take enough dope, take enough vacations, work as much overtime, get involved in cruises, or any kind of happy. If God's got a call on your life, you'll never be happy until you say, yes, sir. I'm reporting for duty, sir. I'll do what you want me to do. Now, notice this in Luke. Verse 8, and Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He knew he disobeyed. He didn't do what God told him to do. Jesus said, put your nets out there. He just let down the net. I imagine he thought in his mind, what's a carpenter trying to tell a fisherman how to fish? Hey. But he said, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draw of fishes which he had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they'd barked their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And they'd followed him up until the time we're talking about in John. Now they decide to go back to fishing. Hadn't worked out like they thought it would. I don't know what all I expected. But I found out this. Jesus said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus, Paul said it to Timothy, shall suffer persecution. You're going to have some tough times in this life. But you know something else? He said, I reckon. Now, that's why I think Paul was Southerner. He said, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I don't care what you're going through tonight. There's coming a day. Man, let me tell you, when Jesus is going to come and get us, take us out of here, and I want to be able, and I haven't always been able, I really want to be able to look Him in the face. I want to see His eyes. I don't want to have to be looking at the ground, as I have so many times. I hope that it'll be a friendly meeting. And that just as I know I took people away from Him, I hope I bring more to Him. The main thing about this place, the rec room, like I said earlier, is getting people to heaven. Let me tell you something. If we did everything we could for you and didn't give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're your biggest enemy. We could get you a job. We could buy you a car. We could find you the nicest apartment in town. We could do all those things. And if we didn't get you the message of Jesus Christ, we're your biggest enemy. We've done nothing for you. And so Peter over here in John, that's what he's reminded of. When John tells him it's the Lord, he goes back to that day when he first dealt with him, and when he first told him, cast down your nets, cast out your nets, and he didn't do it. And this time, back to John now, this time, he hears that call, and he jerks off his fisherman's coat, and he casts himself into the sea. And all of those other guys are out there dragging. The Bible said they're dragging. Look down at verse 8. They're dragging the net of fishes. You know what happened? Peter hooks them off out there and brings them all in out of his energy. Look over there. That instead of driving, verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes with 153 and all, there were so many, yet was not the net broken. He himself could do it. When Jesus Christ, when we obey Him, it's amazing the power. And I'm not talking about you doing any miracles. We'd mess them up if we did them. You know. And I think this is so interesting because old Peter, if anybody, I love to read after Paul, but I know in my own heart I'm much more like Peter. I mean, when they come to arrest Jesus, Peter's got a sword, and he handled it just like any other fisherman would. He cuts off a guy's ear. Now, isn't that good? And the one thing that you don't want to cut off somebody's ear, I mean, how can they hear? He said, how can they hear without a preacher? And here comes Peter, cutting her ear off. He got into so many different things. He messed up so much stuff. But you know what? He's the only one that'd get out of the boat and said, Lord, let me walk on water with you. Yeah. He said, I want to try that. And here it said, Jesus said unto them, verse 10, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Peter said, I'll just bring all of them. He went and got them. drew the nail to him, and they're out there tugging on it, dragging on it. He brings it. Jesus said unto them, come and die. You know what? They toiled all night, and Jesus had already prepared what they were trying to get. He already had it cooked for them. Plus some bread. He had the fishes cooked. He's got the fire. You got, see, what we're out here struggling to try to do, God's got already set up for us if we just listen to Him. Just listen to Him. He's not going to ask anything that can't be done. He didn't tell them to do anything he couldn't do. He said, throw the net over there. They've been throwing the net all night. There's nothing impossible about this. He didn't ask them to do anything extra. In fact, what he asked them to do, he'd already helped them do. He filled their net. When they did what he said to do, their net's full. We do things that keep emptying our net. And we keep failing because we want to do it halfway. I it's not an easy run. Sometime. You may make an enemy. Sometime. You may create some heartache sometime. We have got so overboard on a bunch of stuff that we want to get along. And let me tell you something about this Bible. From the first chapter in it till the last chapter in it, you know what God teaches? He doesn't teach get along. He teaches separation. Come out from among them and be ye separate. He teaches us to get away from the sin. Don't run with that crowd. He told His nation, you get away from them. You don't hang around with that other group. They'll drag you off. And sure enough, they did. Time after time after time. Here's Peter. Verse 12, he said, Jesus said, come and dine. And none of the disciples just asked him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Some of you know why you got some burdens and some unrest. Some of you know why you got some unhappiness. Some of you know why you get so close and but can't have some real enjoyment. Because God's got a call on your life. And instead of fighting that, you ought to be as happy as you can be. But I know this. I know. I shared this. But when I came to this town, if somebody had told me, Leland, you're getting ready to have the greatest years of your life. When I moved into Odessa, Texas, I was on bottom. You know what's good about bottom? Only one direction to go, baby. Hey. But if I, and if somebody told me that, I'd laugh in their face. You know what? Been the greatest years of my life because of the author of this book, Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads, if you would, for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you a question or two. Just want to talk, you and I, for a moment. And you know that God's been dealing with your heart. There's no doubt about it. You might have wondered in the beginning, just like Peter and them didn't know in the beginning it was the Lord. But it didn't take them long to find out. And they said, it's the Lord. And the Lord is dealing with you. And you say, Leland, He's dealing with me tonight. Pray for me that I'll do what He wants me to do. Would you just slip up your hand? Real quickly, I see your hand. God bless you. Slip it up, put it back down. Thank you, thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? I see your hand. Back in the back. Yes, yours and yours. God bless you. Yeah, anyone else? Real quickly, we're going to pray. Yes, yeah. Anyone? Yeah. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen to me carefully. I don't know what God wants you to do. Maybe His calling is just you've never been saved. So let me very briefly touch on that. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then he sums it up and said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I pray, if that's what the Lord is dealing with you about, I want you to trust Him. I want you to ask Him to save you. I want you to turn your sins over to Him. I want you to turn your life over to Him. I want Him to be your Lord. And I want you to, in your own words, say, Lord, here I am, take me. Now, there's some Christians here. You've been saved. There's not enough evidence to convict you for it, but you have. And God's got a program for you, a plan for you. And you've run from it, you've run from it, you've run from it. And life has been hell. Would you come tonight and say, I'm tired of running? I want to cast in the nets, not just the net. I want to cast it on the right side. I want to do what you want me to do. To the Lord, not to me, but to the Lord. Lord Jesus, here's what I want to do. And I want you to come, kneel at this altar, and say, Lord, here I am. Stand to your feet. I'm getting ready to pray. Head still bowed, eyes still closed as we stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, this is your invitation. There's people here that need to be saved. There's Christians here that need to walk with you. Father, I pray that they're tired of running, that they're tired of misery, that they're tired of the heartache that goes with running from you. Help them tonight, Father, to surrender all, just as they are. We turn this over to you in Christ's name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes still closed. Would you come on the very first verse? Come on. Just as I am, without one plea. Come on, right now. What do you need to do, brother? Sister, come on.
Blood was shed for me, and that.
Are you tired of running? You tired of playing games? You've tasted of that honey of walking with the Lord. And it's been a long time. Would you give up that pride? Would you come? Just as I am. I know there's many a conflict, many a doubt. Come on. Would you just turn loose and let God have it? When I ask Charles to sing one more verse, nobody comes, we're through. Have you done what God wants you to do? Come on. Come right on. Precious Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. We know we can't con you. Father, I pray this, that those that should have come tonight will have the most miserable week you've ever had. Because it'd be so much better to have it now than what's ahead when we don't walk with you. Father, help your people. Help those that are lost. Give them another chance. And those that are saved. And Father, it's so easy to be bullheaded. So Father, I pray that you'd break our heart. Father, break my heart. that I'd care more than anything else in the world about souls. We need your help. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.